Good morning. And welcome to Ballyhenry. And a special welcome if this is maybe the very first time that you have been with us here in Ballyhenry. I hope that you feel really, really welcome here this morning among us. This is the first Sunday in the month, and as such, you can give an offering after our morning service today, or you can also give an offering between 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. this afternoon. And then this evening we have Prayer Central at 7 p.m. It is on Zoom, and codes have already been sent out for that. Then the PW ladies are invited to go for a walk and coffee this Saturday morning, the 9th of July, from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at Antrim Lockshore Car Park. And anyone not wanting to join in the walk can join for coffee. And all ladies from the congregation are welcome to this, whether or not you actually attend PW. And then I'm on annual leave from tomorrow through until the 6th of August. And for the first 2 weeks, the Reverend Ronnie Hetherington is providing emergency pastoral cover. And for the remainder of the time, emergency cover will be provided by the Reverend Johnston Lamb. Details of their contact numbers are on the little white postcards in your seats. So if you make a point of taking one of those little white postcards away with you, it just means you have those details to hand during the summer period. And their contact details will also be on the manse answering machine. Summer is on the way, and Nolene is going to come and make an announcement.
First off, I want to register a complaint. Over the last few weeks, Niall has had Agnes up and he has said, "Come on up here, Agnes." He said, "Johnston doing prayers, come on up here, Johnston." Last week, "Emma, come on up here, Emma." Have you ever heard me invited up there? No, and it's too late now, don't do it. Only joking. Good morning. A couple of things, right? Uniforms. If you'll remember, if you have any uniforms for any of the schools in the area that you don't need, if they're in good order and laundered, if you bring them in to me, I'll make sure they're forwarded on. There's a really big demand for uniforms this year, so I would appreciate any uniforms for literally any schools. And if you have friends, neighbours, collect them up and bring them to me. Food Bank, thank you so much for the cereal, jam, and what was my other thing? Fruit juice. I've been asked if there's any way this week, tea and coffee. It's just with the summer, it's to get people through those. So that's the five items: cereal, tea, coffee, jam, and fruit juice. And then go on to my third thing. That's maybe why he doesn't let me up there, you know. I'm prone to staying. Meet the neighbours, 20th of August, as you know, 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock. We do still need some volunteers for the tea tent. As you know, we have a big marquee, it seats 200. But that takes a lot of making sure people get fed and whatever. We've lots of entertainment this year as usual. And the leaflets will be out next week for you to give to friends and neighbours. And then when Niall returns, we'll do the normal distribution around the area. But if you think you can help in any way with Meet the Neighbours, do speak to me. I will always find a job for you. And if you're new to the area, Meet the Neighbours is our big community event where we literally invite the world and its wife in for a day of free entertainment and food, where hopefully they see the best of Ballyhenry and feel it's somewhere that they can visit more frequently. Okay, thank you. And it's too late, don't ever invite me on.
A number of years ago, whenever we were getting ready for Meet the Neighbours and whatnot, somebody said to me, they said, "I've spoken to that lady out of the church called Noling." And they asked then, they said, "Is she the assistant minister?" Nolene, maybe later in the summer, if you're good,
We'll get you up here to do an announcement sometime. You are very appreciated. We are going to sing, but before we do, let me read you some words that we find in the Bible. In Psalm number 3, we read these words, "I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people." We stand together to sing the words of our opening hymn, "All Creatures of Our God and King."
Father God, we thank you for bringing us together here today. And we've been singing a song, Lord, that speaks about how you are and speaks about your greatness and speaks about how you have made all things. You are so much bigger than us. And the Bible tells us that you hold our lives in your hands. And so we can trust you. And we can believe that you know what's best for us. But Lord, you know that whether we're very young or very old or even somewhere in between, we have often tried to live life our own way and tried to live life in our own wisdom. And Lord, this is not good, and this is not for our good. And we want to say sorry for the things that we have done that have been wrong in this past week. We thank you that the Bible speaks about how Jesus died on the cross, and because of that, we can be your friends and we can know that our sins are forgiven. So Lord, help us to have a sense of being at home here this morning and of meeting with you, meeting with each other, listening as your word is shared. And whether we stay in here or later on as the children go out to summer Sunday school, Lord, we pray that you would speak to each one of us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to let you know what the plan is for this summer. So during the summer months, we have a summer Sunday school where the children will be going out to that. And we're going to go out slightly later in the service. So the children are going to stay in through the next song that we sing, and then for our prayers for others, and then the children are going to go out. So I'll explain that, but that will be the pattern during the summer. For our teenagers, they're going to be staying in church during the summer. So that's just to give you a flavor of what the plan is. But for now, boys and girls, I want to mention something that I saw during the week. I saw, you know the way you watch television and you see on television, you see people who are famous on television or characters or programs that are you always like watching. Well, I saw somebody on the television this week, and when I saw it, I went, oh, wow. And it was a girl that was on television, and I said, oh, wow, because I know this girl's daddy. And I saw her on the television and I thought, oh, wow, I know her dad, and she is on television. Now, what I want to tell you about was this girl who was on television. Her name is Tabitha. And Tabitha was on television this week, and she lives in Belfast. So she doesn't live far away from here. And all this past term in school, Tabitha has been working really hard. And what Tabitha has been doing is, Tabitha has been writing a book. Now, Tabitha's only 11, but Tabitha has been writing a book. And it's a book all about her older brother. And her older brother is called Micah. And as we're going to see in a moment now on the screens, this is a very special book about a very special brother. So this was on the television during the week, and we're going to watch it now for a moment. John, do you want to drop those spotlights just a wee bit when you're showing up, or when Robbie's showing up? But that's brilliant.
His laugh is extremely infectious, and he has a beautiful smile. But it can also be quite sad watching him too, with all his challenges, especially when he's distressed, anxious, or confused, and I can't help. Micah has severe nonverbal autism, which means he struggles to talk or communicate, and just lots of other stuff that we would usually find easy in our everyday lives. There's not very many books about people like Micah, whether it's severe autism or not very severe autism. So I thought it would be very good to write a book that could share Micah's story. A lot of people out there have autism, and even if you don't come across them very often, they're still there and they're still people.
It's an incredible book. Do you know, every day in school time we'd have something new to bring in and we'd work on it relentlessly. Like, she's so hardworking at this book.
He's different and it's in the best way possible because now he's more interesting than anyone else.
It's completely normal to have autism and they shouldn't treat them differently, because then I think Tabby's helping people understand that.
And he's too big to sit on my lap.
Hope to get it out to clubs and other schools as well, and actually there's a long-term aim to have it as a possible teaching aid in Upper Key Stage 2 for other primary schools to use and to develop awareness of children with autism.
And I always love my brother, no matter what.
Saw that on television, I just thought, wow, what a brilliant book by a brilliant girl about her brilliant brother. And boys and girls in this church, we are all different from each other here. Everybody in church this morning is different from each other in some way or other, but we are all part of a family here in Ballyhenry. A family where we can grow together as friends of each other and where we can grow together as friends of Jesus, and where all of us can feel at home here in Ballyhenry. Let me pray with you. Father, every single person in this room this morning is different from everybody else. None of us are the same. And Lord, we thank you for that. This is how you've made the world. And we thank you for this place where we can all feel at home and be at home. A family here in Ballyhenry. Lord, we pray particularly for all the boys and girls and all the young people in this church. Watch over them during the summertime. Keep them safe. Help them to enjoy what they are doing. And watch over them and their families. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing together a song, God Loves You and I Love You. And as I say, the boys and girls are going to stay in church after this song just for another couple of minutes. Okay.
God loves you and I love you, and that's the way it should be. God loves you and I love you, and that's the way it should be. You can be happy and I can be happy, and that's the way it should be. You can be happy and I can be happy, and that's the way it should be. God loves you and I love you, and that's the way it should be. God loves you and I love you, and that's the way it should be. You can be very sad, and I can be very sad, that's not the way it should be. You can be very sad, and I can be very sad, that's not the way it should be. 'Cause God loves you and I love you, and that's the way it should be. God loves you and I love you, and that's the way it should be. Others like sisters and brothers, and that's the way it should be. We can can love others like sisters and brothers, and that's the way it should be.
I want to show you another very short thing on screen. Last week, we had Ruth Dalzell with us. Ruth is what's called the E3 Scripture Union Worker. So she works in schools across North Belfast and Newton Abbey. And it's great work that she does. And it's just a reminder of how privileged we are in this part of the world that so many of our schools are an open door for organizations like Scripture Union. During the week, I saw that Ruth had produced just about 90 seconds, just a wee kind of review of her year. And it just shows her out and about in schools in North Belfast and Newton Abbey. I find this an encouraging thing to watch. And with her having been here last week, I just thought it'd be worth us seeing this just for a moment. Lots of good things going on not far from here. Ruth is running an evening for P7 pupils who are moving into first form. That's called It's Your Move. And I have sent out a wee email to parents of children in that age group. And I would hugely commend this to you as children seek to make sense of that transition from a small school to a big school. and as they seek to make those links between what they learn here and what it looks like to be living that out on the ground as a year 8 pupil in a big new school with a whole lot of new friends and all of that. So as I say, everyone has got, who's in that age group, has got that wee email sent to them. We want to pray for one another, and we want to pray for the world around us, and I want to do that by highlighting a couple of things. First of all, there is another postcard in your seats, so nobody should be sitting any more than one seat away from one of these postcards, okay? So if you can pick one of these postcards up, and it just gives you a flavor of folks who are going from here during the summer to be involved in outreach work. Now, you will see from this that we already have Jordan is traveling today to Budapest, and he is on his way there, all being well, with a team of young people. And then next Sunday, Rachel Graham will be traveling to Romania. Both of them are traveling with an organization called Exodus, which is based up on the North Coast and works with young people. And then the other thing, incoming this Saturday, we have what's called the Port Stewart Convention. No prizes for guessing where that meets. But it's a convention that has been meeting every year for many years. And Johnston is actually on the organizing committee of that, and he's a trustee of the Port Stewart Convention. So Johnston's very invested in this, and it starts next Saturday. It is something which has morning Bible readings, evening celebration, and if you're in Port Stewart during that week, you can just drop into it for a day, and details of it are online. So we want to be remembering Johnston and Karen and their involvement in that. In August time, we'll pick up on the super work that Matthew and his mum and dad do with Reality Gospel Group. Katie is away later in August. We'll meet the neighbours, so we'll pick that up in due course. But let me encourage you to take this away. Keep it at home, put it in your Bible, stick it in the fridge. Do whatever it is that just keeps these folks in your mind during the summer period. So we want to be praying for them. But then there's a second slide, and it's, I love these signs that you get a few hundred yards from our house, because you just look at that sign, it points everywhere. I mean, it points you down into Belfast, it points you up the road that we're on, points you to the airport, maybe people going away. Summertime brings all kinds of different things for everybody in this room this morning. And whether or not you plan to be very far away, whether you plan to be close to home, whether you have nothing planned at all, we want to pray that in our individual lives, in our individual places this summer, we will experience God's nearness, we will experience God at work within us, just in the way that we pray for these folks who in a particular way we're sending out to particular places. So let's pray for each other as we look ahead into the summer months. Father, every year the summer is a time when the rhythms of life change and when there's opportunity sometimes to do things that there's not always a chance to do. And we thank you this year, Lord, that we have the opportunity to send people out in a very intentional and specific way to go to places to tell other people about you and to share your love with them. Lord, we thank you for Jordan, who is on his way today to Budapest. And we pray for him and his team as they go to work in outreach in that city and as they spend time listening to you and learning and meeting with other young people in Hungary. Lord, we pray that you would encourage Jordan and be with all who are part of this team. Lord, we pray for Rachel as she looks forward to going next Sunday to Romania. And we pray that all their travel arrangements would go well and that people would keep well as they're away on these teams during the summer period. Closer to home, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity and freedom we have to listen to the Bible being taught, to meet with other Christians from other churches. And we pray that your blessing would be upon the Port Stewart Convention this year and be with Johnson and Karen in the particular involvement they have in this. Lord, be with all who plan to be doing things during August, and we look forward in due course to praying for them too. But Lord, finally we pray for one another. And you know, Lord, the summer brings different plans for different people. Lord, for some, maybe there's no plans or no intention to be away anywhere in particular. For others, Lord, maybe hoping to be away, even far away. Lord, wherever we go and whatever we do during the summer, may we know that you are with us. And may the summer be a time of you working in us and through us in the various places where you have us. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are going to sing together now this song, He Will Hold Me Fast. This talks about the Lord Jesus and his hold upon us. And just as we start this song, when we start, parents can take their children out through to summer Sunday school, and also then we've got the creche space in operation for younger children. So it's that point in the service where the kind of change of gear, change of atmosphere in here, from the more lively to the more reflective. And as I say, if you want to head out straight away when we start this song, He Will Hold Me Fast.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, He will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. He so He will hold me fast. Those He saves are His delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in His holy sight, He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last, bought by Him at such a cost. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with Him to endless life. He will hold me fast. Till our faith is turned to sight. When He comes at last. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast.
Well, this week has marked the end of term. The end of term in our schools and the end of term here in church. On Thursday night, I was out and I bumped into a good friend of mine from Lisburn. He is a year older than me, and he's someone that I've always looked up to as a Christian. He works as a school teacher, and as we chatted about the end of term, the conversation ran in two directions. Looking back over the past number of months and looking ahead to the summer. This morning, I want to take this opportunity for us together to do just that. Looking back and looking forward. Now, as Christian people, we believe that the Bible is a light that shines on our path, and it helps us to see our lives and our circumstances in a proper perspective. And so we're going to begin this morning, as we always do, by reading together part of the Bible. The section we're taking this morning comes from the New Testament book of Colossians. Colossians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul, along with his co-worker Timothy, sometime around about the year AD 60, to a church, a gathering of Christian people living in the city of Colossae. And we're going to read from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. I want you to imagine you are back in AD 60. You have gathered on Sunday with all the other people in the city who are Christians. And the person at the front says, look, we've just got a letter. It's arrived today. It's from Paul, the apostle. And him and his co-worker Timothy, they've written this. And it's actually for us. And I'm going to read it to you now. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light.
For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Well, this time a year ago, we were just finding our way back into meeting together after a second period of doing church week by week on Zoom. I was looking through some folders on my computer earlier in the week, and in there are various resources that we made use of during those many weeks online. Some of you may remember a song that we showed and played at that time. It's called We Seek Your Kingdom. And from the odd face mask on the music video, you'll see that it was produced specifically during that period of lockdown. But the inspiration behind this song, We Seek Your Kingdom, is of course the Lord's Prayer, where we pray, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But this song also names the fact that Jesus' lordship and Jesus' sovereign reign is a reign that reaches over every aspect of our lives. So looking back, even over the last number of months, I want to suggest that that truth has been a very steadying truth for many of us. A steadying truth that Jesus is Lord, and that lordship extends over every aspect of life. I want to suggest to you that that's been a truth that has not only kept us going, helped us to survive, as it were, but it's a truth that has actually lifted our heads. It's lifted our heads and lifted our spirits, albeit in the midst of what have been challenging times. As I say, the last time we saw this, I think it was on a small screen, watching on Zoom. I want, as part of what I'm saying this morning, just to pause and watch this song together and listen to the words, Your kingdom come, we seek your kingdom.
Transform, revive, and heal.
history's page.
Andy Flanagan, who had the hat on, the cap on, and the goatee beard. I went to Queens with Andy, and I smile when I say that he was always a lot cooler than I am. The theme of the Lordship of Jesus Christ over all of life is a big theme in the verses that we read earlier, and indeed in the whole of this letter to the Colossian church. In verses 1 to 5, Paul gives thanks for the Lordship of Christ against a backdrop of challenging times. Now, to realize that these were challenging times, we need to look no further than the person who wrote this letter. Along with Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon, the book of Colossians is known as one of the New Testament prison letters. It seems likely that Paul wrote this letter while he was imprisoned by the Emperor Nero in the city of Rome. So at a very basic level, Paul is not where he wants to be. As he writes this letter, he's not in a situation that he would have chosen to be in. And furthermore, he's in a situation where he feels completely powerless to affect the future direction of his life. It's a hugely challenging situation for Paul personally, and a hugely challenging situation for him as a follower of Jesus Christ. I think of some of the conversations I've had and some of the opportunities I've had to listen to various folks, even in the past week. And I've been reminded that these have been and continue to be very challenging times for many of us. There's the incoming financial crisis that's putting pressure on household incomes. And for some people, this is really, really sharp. For others who run their own business or work in business, there are the issues of escalating costs, there are inflationary pressures, there are complications in global markets and supply chains. Many of you here work in the public sector. And as I listen to people who work in that sector, I hear people sharing stories of limited resources that are being stretched and stretched in systems that simply aren't working. And the pressure then that filters down to many of you who are on the front line, whether that's answering a phone or dealing with people face to face, systems that are just so stretched and perpetually working at levels they were never made to work for. But let me give you another example, and obviously I share this example with this person's permission. Earlier this week, I was talking to John Coates. John and Carol have been very faithful members of Ballyhenry over many years. But over these past number of years, because of John's health, they haven't been able to be here in person at church. They listen to the service each week as it is put out online. Now, those of you who know John and Carol will know that they are very sincere Christian people. But John was just sharing with me how tough it's been to be unwell at this time. Day in, day out, at home. It takes its toll. And as a believer, there's times when you just feel really battered by that and really weighed down by that. But what is striking when you read Colossians is that there is a thankfulness on the lips of the Apostle Paul in the midst of really challenging times. What's he thankful for? Why is he thankful? Well, this takes us into verses 6 to 8. Paul is thankful because the gospel has been bearing fruit. Look at verse 6. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. What I find really striking is the two aspects of what Paul's describing. There's a local aspect to this, a close to home aspect. He talks about how the gospel has been bearing fruit among his readers in their day-to-day situations in Colossae and in their life together as a church. Over the past number of months, I have been using a particular Bible reading app on my phone or iPad for my daily Bible readings. It's called the Bible in 1 Year app. And on Friday, the comment on the reading for the day included these words: mountaintops encourage you, but valleys mature you. Mountaintops encourage you, but valleys mature you. Now, you'll have your own perspective on how even these past few months have been for you. Whether you have felt, as it were, that you've been living life on the mountaintop or in the valley, or maybe somewhere in between. But I know certainly through the lens of my work and alongside our elders seeking to give overall leadership to the life of the church, it's been hard work getting things back. Hard work, to be honest, at times, just keeping things going over this past year. And yet, in a way that I don't think I have been conscious of before, I have a sense that God has been maturing us as a congregation and deepening our walk with him even in these past number of months. We've seen fruit through the things we've been doing together, and I also believe it's been a time of fruit bearing in individual lives. People of different ages seeking to follow the Lord in daily life and to be faithful to him amidst the changes and challenges that these times have brought. This sense that what God is doing in us, it's local, it's close to home, but it's also global and bigger than us. And this was Paul's experience. Again, it's in verse 6. As he gives thanks for how at this time the gospel had been bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. As a local church in Colossae, the believers there had the privilege of being part of this. And this morning, as I've mentioned on your seats, there's that little prayer card encouraging you to pray for those who we are sending out this summer on summer mission. Jordan, who along with a team of young people has left today for Hungary. We have Rachel soon to travel with another team to Romania. And it's funny, I just step back and I look at those place names and I think back to when I was not much younger than Jordan or Rachel. And the thought of being able to send people on a Christian mission team to what then was in behind the Iron Curtain was just something you could never imagine. Johnson and Karen, as we've mentioned, are going to be involved with the Port Stewart Convention. And in August, Katie is going to be working with children with special educational needs at New Horizon. Ricky will also be sharing at that event about the work of Wycliffe around the world. And it's 3 years since these kind of conventions and festivals can even meet in this kind of way. And then with John and Anne and Matthew, with their band Reality and the Agape Puppets, they'll be going out onto the streets with good news to share across this island, from Tralee to Ballycastle, from Galway to Portrush. A reminder that while this kind of work gets increasingly challenging, we continue to live in a part of the world where there are these great freedoms to share the gospel in these kind of ways that convey to people the full message of what it is to know the Lord Jesus and what it is to serve and follow him. And then we bring that all back home here in August with Meet the Neighbours. And again, even in the past week, just lovely to be able to be sending invitations to some folks within our local community, explaining to them more about what's going on. And then in August time, we'll have the bundle of invites to go out through the doors and all of that. And in the background to that, there's a team of you who are preparing in an ongoing way to travel to work with Eggshell in Cambodia later in the autumn. Do you see what a normal, ordinary church looks like? It's local. It's global. Now, I mention these things not in any way to talk ourselves up, but rather to stir within us a sense of thankfulness. The same gospel that sends you into your daily life and into your mission field is sending these folks literally across the island and literally across the world. Paul reminds his readers that they are part of this. We are part of this. God at work in you out there. This is what the gospel does. It bears fruit. Paul could see this. The Colossians were experiencing this. And praise God, we are seeing it too. This is what God does. And we are thankful for this. Paul gives thanks for the lordship of Christ against a backdrop of challenging times, but he's also thankful because the gospel has been bearing fruit. But finally, in verses 9 to 14, Paul prays for more fruit as he looks to the days ahead. Now again, remember where Paul is. He's in prison. It would be so natural for him to be very self-focused. It would be so natural for him to write to his friends in Colossae and say, look, pray for me, and then give a big long description of his situation. Pray that I'll get out. Pray that God will deal with the evil emperor Nero. So natural to be very, very self-focused if you had been in Paul's situation. Now, in other places, Paul does ask for prayer for himself, and at times he very personally shares his needs and vulnerabilities. There's a place for that. But here in Colossians, his focus is not on himself. It's on the whole church community that he knew were gathering in Colossae. And his focus is not on what has been, but his focus is on what is yet to come. I think I am already at the age where it can be easy to kind of retreat into the safety of the known stuff that has happened in the past. Do you remember this? Oh, that was great. Do you remember that? Oh, that was brilliant. Do you remember? And yet, no matter what age or stage we are, the Lord Jesus is always calling us to look to a future that is as yet unimagined. Paul's focus is not on what has been, but it's on what is yet to come. His focus is not an anxious imagining of the future or a hoping that everything would just kind of settle down. His focus is a confident focus. It is an expectant focus that the God who had brought the Colossian Christians thus far had much more for them in the days to come. In verse 9, he prays that God will fill them with the knowledge of his will. He prays that God will give them more of the Holy Spirit. Do you see the language? It is not minimalist. It's expansionist, that God will fill them, that he will give them more. He prays that the work of that Spirit will be seen in every aspect of their lives. Do you see that little phrase in verse 10? So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Friends, this vision includes what we do here and what we can do together through the activities, the organizations, the programs of our church. But while it includes those things, it reaches out far beyond those things. Paul has our whole lives in view as he prays that the Holy Spirit's work will be seen not just when the Colossians gather as a church, but also when they scatter into their everyday situations. Of course, those situations are hugely diverse as we look to the summer, and we've mentioned that already. Some will be on holiday, some will be working, some will be mostly at home, some will be caring for others, some will not be far traveled. But I want to finish with this. The day after I had been talking to John Coates, he rang me. And he rang me to share something that he had been reading earlier that morning that had encouraged him and that he felt could encourage me. And he wanted to share it with me. These are the words of Jesus from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. They are taken from the Message version of the Bible. Here's what Jesus said, and here's what John read to me over the phone. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. John shared with me how those words had lifted him, and I trust they lift you. We pray your kingdom come, and that kingdom is coming. As it does, we've been encouraged this morning to give thanks for the lordship of Christ against a backdrop of challenging times. We have been encouraged to be thankful for how the gospel is bearing fruit in daily lives and around the world, and we've been encouraged to pray for more fruit as we look to the days ahead. This summer, my prayer is that each of us will find rest in walking with Jesus, knowing that wherever we are and whatever we are doing, he says, keep company with me and let me teach you as a gathered people and as a scattered people how to really live. How to live a life that is marked by God's grace and God's peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that your word would hit the mark this morning in our lives in a way that's right for us. Lord, we are so thankful for the many, many ways in which we've been able to get back into things this last term. And yet we've been reminded that there are those who still cannot be with us. We've mentioned John and Carol specifically this morning. And we pray for them and we pray for others like them. have been so faithful in their attendance in Ballyhenry over the years, but because of being unwell or because of caring responsibilities, are simply not able to be here Sunday by Sunday. Lord, as folks like this join us on Zoom or listen again online or have been getting CDs throughout this past term, we pray, Lord, that they would know that though they are not here on a Sunday in person, they are still very, very much a part of this fellowship and this church family. So, Lord, for any who are listening this morning on Zoom or will listen again online, Lord, may they really, really know that genuinely we are together in your care and in your keeping. And we pray that that would continue throughout the summer months until we are back together again in your will and looking ahead to a term that is to come. And we pray these things all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to sing together our final piece, There Is a Higher Throne. And during this, the boys and girls will come back in from summer Sunday school.
Their thunderous
We love you. We really do. Often I get to this stage of the year, I'm exhausted, looking forward to getting away. We will miss you, but we look forward to being back, God willing, later in the summer. So may the Lord keep this fellowship, this precious gathering of his people in his care, and go with us in the weeks that are to come. We thank you so much for this place, and we look forward in faith for much that is to come. In Jesus' name, amen.